Bed and protector, cause without her, we're nothing at all. Water is life, this is the truth. You are the voice of the water. You are the voice of the water. You are the voice of the water. We are the water.
Thank you, Alice.
Next up, Francisco Lopez is going to speak to all of us. I don't know if any of you have ever heard Francisco speak before, but he always speaks from the heart, and it's beautiful. Francisco is part of Voz Hispana Cambio Comunitario, which means Hispanic Voice for Community Change. Francisco is an immigrant from El Salvador, a proud dad of two boys, and the political director of Voz. Ladies and gentlemen, open up your ears, open up your hearts. Let's listen to Francisco.
Are we ready to march? Are we ready to resist? I cannot hear you. Are you ready to resist? Today, once again, Donald Trump showed what kind of America he wants. He was today not speaking to the United States of America. He was speaking to white America. I want to tell this man, we are going to reject the North, the hate. We are going to reject racism. We are going to reject xenophobia. Protect our community. Now is the time to defend our community. That's how we are going to resist. So you repeat after me. We are going to prepare. Laura, prepare. Are we going to protect?
Protect.
And of course, we are going to defend. Defend. Starting on Monday, these men want to start building a wall. Starting on Monday, these men want to eliminate protections for young undocumented immigrants. We are going to tell him that Oregon is going to reject every single policy that creates an environment of hate.
Yeah! Our next speaker is from Portland Tenants United! So Portland Tenants United is an amazing organization that has very recently effected a whole lot of change here in Portland. Margot Black of Portland's House is going to speak about Portland's housing crisis. She is a proud lifelong renter and one of the founders of Portland Tenants United. Portland Tenants United is organizing renters in the Portland area to demand dignity and security in their housing by any means necessary. You can find PTU unapologetically fighting for tenants' rights in City Hall, in your apartment complex, on the news, in eviction court, and in the streets with us today!
So who here is a renter? Who here thinks the rent is too damn high? So before I tell you why a tenants' rights person is sitting here talking to you at an anti-Trump rally, I want everybody, whether you rent or own or wherever you call home, I want you to just take a minute, maybe close your eyes for a second, and think about where you are next going to fall asleep. I know that people have a lot of different plans for this weekend, for rising up, raising a ruckus, rabble-rousing. I know there's a lot of uncertainties about the next hours, days, weeks, years, and even generation under a Trump presidency. But take a moment and think about where you're going to next fall asleep. For many of you, I'd venture to say that this will be at your home, in your bed, on your pillow. There's often nothing better in times like these, especially in the last few weeks that have seen brutal storms and low temperatures and people dying on our streets and babies dying at bus stops. There's often nothing better for those who are lucky enough to have it after a long day of work or a cold day marching in the streets or weeks of angst and hand-wringing over the reality of our national election. There's nothing better than that moment where you can lay your head down on your pillow, pull up your covers, and get the much-deserved rest that you need to start the fight again tomorrow. Our home is our space where we can be tired, messy, naked, ugly, sick, imperfect, and yet find solace. A place where we can take a break from everything, resupply our bodies and our backpacks, and ready ourselves for the battles to come. For many of you, your home is warm and dry. But for some of you, it's not. Because you can't turn on your heat. Because perhaps you can't afford it. Because heating a home is expensive with electric baseboard heaters under drafty windows. None of which you can do anything about because you're a renter. Or because you have to choose between paying your rent and paying your heat. But for some of you, it's because your heater is broken and your roof is leaking and there's mold on the walls and windows and on the ceilings and you're sick and your kids are sick. They've been sick for months and you're cold and your kids are cold because you can't ask your landlord to fix these things. Because you're an immigrant or a refugee or a person of color or a single mother or LGBTQ or low income or disabled or elderly, you are a renter. And you're worried, worried that if you ask your landlord to fix these things or to make your home more energy efficient, that you might not have a home anymore. Because the last time you asked your landlord about the rats coming into your apartment through the holes in your floorboards, he suggested he could have you deported. Because the last time you asked your landlord to fix your fridge, which has been broken for months, he suggested if you like having a place to live, you'll fix your own fridge. And because you're a single mother, maybe you are a single black mother, and because you have to send a picture of your valid driver's license to a property management company before they'll even agree to show you a place, a license you're not even allowed to get if you're an undocumented immigrant. And because the property manager makes up an excuse to not show you the apartment after they see the picture on your driver's license, or hear your Muslim-sounding name, or find out that you have three kids, because you know you won't be able to find another home, you fix your own fridge. Or you don't, because you can't afford it, because rent. So you just don't have a fridge. And even though it doesn't seem right, it isn't right. It's an easy choice for you to make, because having a place for you to call home with a bed and a pillow is the most important thing. It's a place to receive your family and friends, and neighbors and your neighbors' family and friends. It's a place for your kids to do their schoolwork, a place to store your life-saving medicine and important documents and quilt that your grandmother made for you. It's a place for you to build community, to know your neighbors so that you can look out for each other when someone is ill or if there's an earthquake or in times such as these. So you live without a fridge, and you live without heat, and you live without getting the gaping hole in the roof fixed, but you do not live without fear. Because even if you don't ask your landlord for repairs and dutifully fix everything yourself, even if you're working three jobs now and can't ever see your kids in order to pay your rent, even then, you know that the letter taped to the door from your landlord could be the letter you've been dreading, the $500 rent increase or the no-cause eviction. And if you're a person of color, a single mother, queer, Muslim, a non-native English speaker, an immigrant, a refugee, documented or not, this might be an eviction into homelessness. And it certainly is an eviction from your neighborhood, your support system, your community, your city, and maybe the country. And when you try to speak up to say this is unfair, that it shouldn't be like this, you're told that if you don't like it, you should just buy a house. You're told that if you can't keep up with the high-income tech workers, you don't deserve to live here anymore, that you should just move. You're told that you should make better choices in life. You should work harder, get a better job. You should have known better than to live in a city like Portland without an income to support it, even though you and your neighbors built this city. You feel you have failed. You have failed as a person, as a parent. This is your fault. You are alone. You are to blame. It's not true. You're not alone, and you haven't done anything wrong. So what does this have to do with Donald Trump? Well, Donald Trump is a landlord. His arrogance and his entitlement is from the millions that he has made as a landlord, as a racist landlord. In 1973, when the United States Department of Justice went to court against him with a discrimination complaint for screening tenants by race, turning black people away, Trump filed a $410 million lawsuit against the federal government, complaining the federal government was doing a nationwide drive to, and I quote, force landlords to rent to welfare recipients, a code word for black people, as if neither black people nor welfare recipients deserve access to quality housing. And this persists today. Trump is awful. He is awful, but he is not unique. He is not unlike the white men that docked their boats on the Atlantic shores and declared that the land belonged to them. We must resist the notion that renters exist to pay our landlords' mortgages, fund their kids' college education, and their retirements. We must resist that to be a renter is to be a failure, that we should just work harder as if we're not working hard enough, and that if we can't, we should just move away from our churches, friends, families, schools, and community. Move where land is cheap, move where we can afford to get in on the game of driving the next person out who can't afford to keep up, who don't fit in with the new shiny character of the neighborhood. As talks for a Muslim registry and building a wall and making America great again for white men compel us to demand that our city and workplace and neighborhood be designated as a sanctuary, we must remember that first and foremost, home is sanctuary. And that when we live in fear of our homes being taken away from us, and when our homes are taken away from us, we are more vulnerable. We are weakened, not stronger. Immigrants and refugees and everyone else under the threat of a Trump presidency will not find sanctuary, cannot find sanctuary if they do not have homes, if their homes can be taken away from them. We cannot fight for climate protections and healthcare and access to abortion and quality public education and workers' rights and racial justice if we don't have a place to sleep at night. If any gain in our wages goes right to our landlord, if we have no permanence in our community, we cannot fight to fortify it. We can't, but we must. As long as we are all working to pay the rent, some of us working 2, 3, 4 more jobs, then we don't have the time and energy and wherewithal to fight. But we must. If we are choosing between rent and medicine, it is hard to fight. But we must. If calling a lawyer on your landlord means that you could get deported, you can't fight. And the rest of us must. We must resist. Portland Tenants United is a tenants union. We want you to know that if you are a renter, you are not alone, and that if we join together, we don't need to be afraid. That there is nothing natural or normal about living in fear of your housing being taken away from you. There is nothing reasonable about having to pay 3 jobs for your housing. We are fighting for housing, security, and dignity. We are fighting for the people who died in our streets. We are fighting to make sure that immigrants aren't living in fear of deportation from their landlord. We are fighting so that everyone can access and afford quality housing in their communities, and that you can live in your home according to your lifestyle, your culture, your politics. We're fighting to make sure that the letter from your landlord taped to your door is nothing more threatening than a birthday card. We're fighting because there are more of us than there are them.
Because if we stand together, if we lock arms around our homes or the homes of our brothers and sisters and friends and neighbors who are fighting to stay in their communities, if we stand our ground and say, we will not be moved, then we will win. But only if we all do it together.
The time is 5:59, and you are listening to KBOO Portland. Up next, Rose City Native Radio.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. The Engineering Committee will meet on the first Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Good people, stay tuned every second and fourth Thursday at 8 p.m. for Guess Who's Coming to Radio, a show with music and discussion, addressing socio-political issues relevant to African peoples in this nation. We encourage you to call in with some positive, proactive solutions to what we are facing today. Guess Who's Coming to Radio, every second and fourth Thursday at 8 p.m. on KBOO, your community radio.
You are listening to a digital indigenous radio show. All across Turtle Island, turn up your radios and decolonize. This is Rose City Native Radio.